Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the King of Kings as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 26. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. For God said, I will overturn. And it shall be no more until he comes, that is Jesus Christ, whose right it is, and I will give it to him. So when Jesus Christ returns, he will destroy this man of sin with the brightness of his coming, with a sharp sword that goes forth out of his mouth. And he shall sit upon the throne of David and will be acclaimed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will bring in the glorious kingdom age. So there is this false hope that they will hold on to at the beginning. In the scriptures we read, because they would not believe the truth of God, God gave them over to a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. He will come with such power, such exciting miracles, such charisma, that the whole world, except for the elect, will be deceived. And were, if possible, even deceive the elect. Now, that elect there does not refer to the church, but to Israel, those elect of Israel who have been elected of God, the 144,000 elected of God to be sealed and preserved in the Great Tribulation period. Coming with lying wonders, but God is going to overturn. And he who has exalted himself will be abased. And he who was abased will be exalted and will come and sit upon the throne whose right it is. When we get into the book of Revelation chapter 5, we see a scroll in the right hand of him who is sitting upon the throne, God. The scroll is sealed with seven seals. It has writing both within and without. And an angel proclaims with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to take the scroll and loose the seals thereof?" The scroll is the title deed to the earth. Who is worthy to redeem the earth back to God is the whole idea. The earth originally was God's. God gave it to man. Man turned it over to Satan. Satan governs and rules the world today. Jesus came to redeem the world back to God, not by force, but by the price of his blood, the just for the unjust. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed unto all men, because all sinned. Even so, by one man's righteousness shall many be made righteous. And so in heaven, the day has come, the transaction, the time of redemption. There is the scroll, the instrument that was drawn up. Who is worthy to take the scroll and loose the seals? John began to sob convulsively because no man was found worthy in heaven and earth or under the sea to take the scroll or even to look upon it. But the elder said, "Don't weep, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the scroll and loose the seals." And I turned and I saw him as he stepped forth. And he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. And when he did, the 24 elders came forward with their vials, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they offered them before God. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the scroll and loose the seals, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us by thy blood." Now, whose right it is? You see, he is going to come and reign. Satan's kingdom is going to be overthrown. Satan will no longer rule over the earth. In fact, Satan will be bound and cast into the abyss. And he will rule whose right it is. And then we will see the world that God intended when he made Adam and placed him upon the earth. You'll see the earth renewed and restored to the beauty and the glory of the Garden of Eden. You'll see an earth in which righteousness will reign. You will see an earth in which there is no sickness, no blindness, no lameness, no deformities. You'll see an earth that is covered with righteousness, even as the waters do cover the sea. An earth without deserts, an earth without hurricanes, an earth that is lush and beautiful and glorious and doesn't have polluted skies. You'll see the earth that God intended, and you'll live and dwell with Him upon this earth for 1,000 years. Glorious day, and we look forward to it. But it's interesting. Here is the prophecy. There will be no king in Israel until he comes whose right it is. Not going to be any diadem. There's not going to be any royal crown until Jesus comes. It's interesting that when the Jews returned from their Babylonian captivity, they didn't reestablish monarchy. They didn't anoint a king to rule over them. The monarchy ended with Zedekiah. It is interesting that when the Jews returned to Israel again in 1948, they did not establish a monarchy, which was their traditional form of government. And there will not be a monarchy or a king until he comes whose right it is. And Jesus Christ will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So a beautiful prophecy here concerning Jesus Christ in this 21st chapter. Now thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God concerning the Ammonites. Now you remember one of the arrows was marked with the Ammonites on it. And concerning their reproach, even say thou, the sword is drawn for the slaughter, it is furbished to consume because of the glittering. While they see vanity into thee, while they divine a lie unto thee to bring thee into the necks of them that are slain of the wicked, whose day is come when their iniquity shall have an end. Shall I cause it to return into his sheath? I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy nativity. So the Ammonites will not escape, but then God said, don't think that you're going to be delivered. I will judge thee, the nation Israel, in the place where you were created, right in the land. In the land of your nativity, and I will pour out my indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath and deliver thee into the hand of the brutish men, those who are skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land, and thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it. Now, why would God do this? Chapter 22. He now tells us the things that were happening and the sins for which God's judgment was coming. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all of her abominations. Then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city is filled with murders in the midst of it, the shedding of blood, that her time may come and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and thou hast defiled thyself with your idols which you have made, and thou hast caused thy days to draw near and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen and the mocking to all countries, because you've turned to idolatry. And because the murders that are going on, and of course this was to their idols, they were sacrificing their own children as life sacrifices to these gods. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. Behold, princes of Israel, every one were in thee to their power to shed blood. So the princes were polluted. In thee have they set a light by thy father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. The princes here, rather than dealing righteously, were dealing by oppression. oppressing the stranger, oppressing the orphan, the widow, taking advantage of the weak. Thou hast despised my holy things, and you have profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee have they discovered their father's nakedness. In thee have they humbled her that were set apart for her pollution. They were not to have intercourse with a menstruous woman, but they were doing it. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. And another in thee had humbled his sister, his father's daughter. So there was incest that was being practiced. Adultery, fornication, pornography, the lewdness. And in thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. So they were murder by hire. Thou hast taken usury and increase. Interest rates went up to 20%. Prime. And you have greedily gained of your neighbors by extortion, and you have forgotten me, saith the Lord. Of course, a person couldn't do these things without forgetting God. You see, if you're conscious of God, you couldn't be doing these things. You've got to put God out of your mind to be able to do these things. Behold, therefore, I have, and that, of course, I might say, is the result of putting God out of the minds of people. Then what do you have as a guide? What do you have as a standard for morality? What do you have as a guide for right and wrong? If you put God out of the minds of the people, if you declare there is no God, or God is so removed from his creation that he has no concern, then the people are cut loose. There is nothing as a standard for morality. There are no codes to follow. If every man must just experience for himself life and the various aspects of life, relating to them and interpreting them for himself, and there is no God to answer to, then the door is open for all of these things, and who is to say it is wrong? And so we have psychologists today who are advocating incest as a wholesome, healthy practice, encouraging the parents to start sexual relations with their children when they're 2 or 3 years old, so they might understand a new dimension of love. Rot. But you see, if everything is relative, and if there is no God, then who is to say that is wrong? Who is to say adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong, high interest rates are wrong, contracting for someone's murder is wrong, killing someone is wrong? Who says? What's your standard? You've put God out of the picture. That opens the door for anything that a man wants to do. And so the whole key is there. You have forgotten me. And that is the danger of putting God aside, setting God aside out of our educational systems. Well, you can't talk about Jesus Christ. You can't talk about a belief in God. You can't advocate that they believe in God. So what are you doing? You're just opening up this whole sordid mess that we see in the world around us. We have sown the wind, as the prophet Hosea said, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. We are reaping the results of this whole secular humanism that was fostered upon our school systems by the Watsons and the Deweys and the Huxleys. And it's probably too late to reverse it. The die has been cast. I don't know how we can reverse it. Only God can reverse it, and that through the intercession of his people. It is interesting, as we read the things that were going on in Israel, They are the same things you read in your newspaper. Because they had forgotten God. If they had not forgotten God, they couldn't. If they were had God in their minds, in their hearts, in their consciousness, they couldn't do these things. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at your dishonest gain, which you have made, and at the blood which has been in the midst of thee. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And I will scatter thee among the heathen, and disperse thee in the countries, and I will consume the filthiness out of thee. And thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. That oft-repeated phrase, some 61, 62 times in Ezekiel, thou shalt know that I am Jehovah. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is become as dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you in the midst of Jerusalem. As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it and to melt it, so will I gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Now, it is interesting that when Moses was predicting the apostasy of the people in Deuteronomy, when you've come into the land and you begin to pollute yourself in the land and you turn from God and you forget God and so forth, and this apostasy takes place, that Moses wrote in Deuteronomy that they would be burned with hunger and devoured with burning heat. Here God says, I'm going to boil you or melt you in this cauldron. As silver and tin and iron are melted. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, you are in the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. So the prophets were polluted. They were lying to the people. In the midst thereof, they are like a roaring lion ravening on the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things, and they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. So these prophets were greedy. They were always emphasizing giving money. Send in your money, your dollars, you know. Greedy for gain. Representing to the people that God was always broke. His program was just out of funds, and you better rescue God this week, or next week it's bankruptcy. God's going out of business unless you come in and save him from this terrible fate. The prophets were taking the treasure and the precious things from these little widows, extorting their Social Security checks. Her priest have violated my law. They have profaned my holy things. They don't know the difference between that which is holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They've hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Some recent survey showed that some 80% of the ministers in the United States do not believe in hell as a place of punishment for the wicked. 60% don't believe in heaven. 78% don't believe in the virgin birth. And then you get to the resurrection and all, and you find that unbelievers among the ministry. Well, no wonder the church is dead. If there's nothing to be gained, why go? Nothing to be lost, Why get involved? The priest had violated the law of God. They had turned against God. I am profaned among them. Her princes, the rulers, the governors, in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood, to destroy the souls, to get dishonest gain. Bribery, abscam. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. Doing all of this in the name of God. All of this junky fundraising stuff in the name of God. The Lord hath spoken. Oh, I get these letters all the time, computerized letters. The Lord laid you on my heart today, and God gave me a special message for you. He wants you to sit down and write out a check and send it to me. Thus saith the Lord, you know. Support me so I can buy my new yacht.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 21 through 22 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord watch over you as you go. May His hand be upon your life for good. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and fill you with His Holy Spirit, that you might walk in His love, that you might be an instrument through which He works His work of love in a world that is filled with hate and suspicion. May your life be as a light shining in a dark place, bringing hope to those who sit in darkness. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Pastor Greg Laurie.
Rarely does a man come along that literally changes a generation, but such a man came. And that man is here tonight, and his name is Chuck Smith. Yeah?
Join Pastor Greg in an exclusive interview with Pastor Chuck. Listen to rarely heard stories and memories in Chuck's own words about the events that influenced him and how he, in turn, influenced so many.
We have only one life, and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
To order a copy of the special DVD with Greg Laurie and Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673. Again, the number to call is 800-272-WORD.